It's always wonderful to be together. Just there's nothing to compare with it. I too come from a rather large family, and I know that when we get together, my brothers and sisters, there's such joy and such sharing of where the Lord has taken us. Unlike Brother Joe, I like to title my message ahead of time. In case you're wondering what I'm talking about, at least you've got some idea. And if I were to title this message, it would be Prisoners of Hope. We are prisoners of hope. And all through this convention, I've just kept hearing that word coming up in everyone's message, hope. To be prisoners of hope, what a joy. A few years ago, I was reading a book, and it's called Kisses from Katie. It's a young lady that, at the age of 18, young Catholic lady, for those of you who might designate things, went to Uganda on a mission trip. And she had a very promising future at home. She had a boyfriend she was going to marry. When she was done her college career, all manner of things. She came from a middle-class family, upper middle class. But she fell in love with the people in Uganda. And she went home to tell her parents that she had to go back because she had another love affair. And so she went back and adopted 15 little girls and took them into her home. She gave up college, she gave up marriage, she gave up everything. I love reading stories like that because we're so used to reading stories of long ago, and we wish there were people like that today. And then you run into people like that, whether by book or a message or something, and it's exciting to know that the love of God could so capture us that we would leave everything behind to fulfill that love and that calling. And it was very exciting to see that this year, which is some, I think she went over in 2008, this year she met a young man. Well, she didn't just meet him. He was in the same ministry she was, except he had little boys, little Ugandan boys in his house. And they married this year. And she said, I always thought that marriage would take away from the calling that I have. She said, but I have found that marriage can be holy. It can be holy. H-O-L-Y. And it can be consecrated to the Lord. And so they're in the work now together. And so this message actually came out of what I was reading in her account of some of the things that have happened to her. So if you look to Zechariah, the 9th chapter, Zechariah 9, beginning with verse 11. God has been speaking a word of judgment, but also a word of hope. And he says, as for thee also, and he's speaking, I believe, not just to the children of Israel, but to all others who might hear what he was saying. For thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. You know, and I thought about those of us who were in other denominations, other walks of faith, and how God pulled us out from a place where there was no water into a place where there's living water. He pulled us out from a place where we were drinking from broken cisterns and put us in a place where we could live by, and have water by the living fountain. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Ye prisoners of hope. Are we prisoners of hope? I believe we should be. Anything you might find yourself captive to, examine it. See what it is to which you are a captive. And turn it around to realize we are a prisoner of hope. I thought that this morning, even as we were praying with Brother Bill, that God would grab us and give us the hope rather than the despair that we so often feel. When I have bent Judah for me, filled the bow with Ephraim, and raised up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece, and made thee as the sword of a mighty man, and the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as the lightning, and the Lord God shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with whirlwinds of the south. The Lord of hosts shall defend them. They shall devour and subdue with sling stones. They shall drink and make a noise as through wine. They shall be filled like bowls and as the corners of the altar. And I thought, well, God is doing that for us. Even as we pray, we sing, we praise, we prophesy, God is using all of those things like slingshots, like arrows, against the enemy who would rob us of our hope, that we might truly recognize whose prisoner we are. And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be as the stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon his land. For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty. We sing about it. Do we see it? Do we know that it's for real? Corn shall make the young men cheerful, and new wine the maids. That's speaking about the life we receive and the life we give to one another for this purpose. And that took me to looking at some of the statements that Paul had made about himself. So there's a few verses here. Ephesians 3:1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner. You know, I thought about Paul being in prison. How many times was he in prison? But each time, from the beginning of the time that he found himself in prison and began singing songs of praise, he began to realize, I am a prisoner with a purpose. I'm not a prisoner for a cause. I'm a prisoner with a purpose. And the purpose is all that we've been hearing through this convention. The purpose is to be a manifestation of the resurrection life that is within us. Little children, 12 years and under, who can stand and say, we will not bow to Allah. That is a manifestation of the resurrection life that is within. Ephesians 4:1. Paul is recognizing he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ, not only for his own people, but for the Gentiles as well. And so he says in Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. every day, every moment of the day, public or private, inner or outer, walk worthy. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. 2 Timothy 1:8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. His prisoner. Whenever you're going through situations, whenever you feel there's cause for despair, whenever fear would want to overtake you, who are you? Who are you? Where are you? A prisoner, his prisoner. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. It doesn't say be thou partaker of the blessings. He says be thou partaker of the afflictions. And yet we so often go through life saying, why? Why is this happening to me? Why is it this? And I think, who else do you want it to happen to? Yeah. Who else are you wishing it on? Why is this happening to me? And I am so thankful for what the Lord spoke to me when my husband went to be with him. And he said, don't ask me why. Ask me, what's next? What's next? What's ahead? As we've already heard, don't be complaining about what God is taking you through until you see what he's taking you to. And it's from glory unto glory. I've seen that scripture, and somebody here mentioned it, I think it might have been Steve, about the glory. We don't see the glory. And sometimes the next glory is so great, we don't realize the other was glory also. But he's taking us from glory to glory, whether it be by affliction or whether it be by blessing. Philemon, he had caused himself to complain. He's writing out of prison to someone who is more a prisoner of their thoughts and their anger than they are of hope. And he says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, Timothy, our brother, and to Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Verse 9, for love's sake, I rather beseech you, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And God is saying to us that wherever we are, whatever circumstance where we find ourselves, that we recognize what God is doing and why he's doing it. I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures to you. Psalm 102. Starting with verse 16. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. How many of us realize God is building up Zion right now? Right now. Are we waiting for his appearing? Or do we realize he has already appeared? We are the manifestation of his appearing. And how we conduct ourselves, how we present ourselves, is the testimony, the proof of the resurrection. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. We need to remember that when we lift these things up before the Lord, whether we see an immediate response or not, he is hearing our prayer, and he will not despise those prayers. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. You know, he's not talking about some future creation that God is going to do, because God has done it. I believe he's talking to his creators. Yes. And he's saying, wherever you go, what are you creating? Are you creating life? Are you creating despair? Are you creating hope? So God says, the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he has looked down from the height of the sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth. For what purpose? To hear. To hear the groaning of the prisoner. To hear the groaning of the prisoner. To loose those that are appointed to death. To declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. When the people are gathered together, are we gathered together? When the people are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. How many of you realize that when you came in this morning, you brought a kingdom with you? Matter of fact, you brought two kingdoms. You brought the kingdom of self and the kingdom of what you hope to be. And God says, when those kingdoms are connected, then the praise and the service to the Lord will go forth. I've often thought of the description of the kingdom of self. There was a book written quite a few years ago called The Kingdom of Self. And it started out with a baby in a high chair. That's the kingdom of self. You want to know what you look like? Yeah. When you're into yourself? Just watch that baby in the high chair next to you. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Have you heard the freedom song these last few days? Have you heard? The song of freedom. He's come and he sent us to proclaim liberty. Liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. For what purpose? That he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. The sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Think about it. When I think of all the opposing forces, not just the invisible ones, but the visible ones. And realize there's coming a day when they're going to work side by side with us. You know, as much as we understand the horrors that are taking place throughout the whole world, the people that are suffering, we have to realize these are children of the Most High God. And as we walk our lives before them, they're going to see a hope that they had never realized existed. We are the proof of the resurrection. You shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves. Why? Because they're bringing glory to you? No. Their glory is the same as our glory. When the Son of Righteousness shines upon them, it will be his glory. For your shame, you shall have double. For confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I forget who was talking about our attitude and how we smite. I think it was Brother John Troyer, how we smite our brother. And I thought, God hates that. He hates that if we have aught against our brother and at the same time we're praising the Lord. It's not real. Is it real? I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, their offering among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them. He's talking about us, that we are the seed which the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with what?
Garments.
Garments of salvation. He's covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Now I'd like us to go into the New Testament, to Luke. Luke, the 4th chapter. Familiar passage, but I was saying, Brother Steve was talking to us about hearing the words that we're singing and applying them. I thought, how often do I read the scripture and I read it like a story well known instead of reading it like it has something to say to me? And so as I was going through this passage, I thought, wow, why didn't that ever strike me before? Because this is a passage that begins with Jesus being led by the Spirit into the wilderness for his temptation. This is the part that I had not noticed before. Verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. He was taken out by the Spirit. He was brought back by the Spirit. Whatever God is taking us through, he takes us in. And if we are faithful to him, he brings us out in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee. And they run out of fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified you ever notice that? That he was glorified? Being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." I look around at these people today. There are a lot of hearts here. A lot of hearts here that have been broken. But we're sent to heal. And I think it was Brother Rob that was saying about healing the breach. Sister Virginia, quite a few years ago, gave a tremendous word, at least in Guatemala, about being called to heal the breach. How faithful are we? How often am I afraid to speak up, to share with someone when I see a breach? And I know it could be so easily healed if there would just be a yielding to the Spirit of God. But that's a big if, isn't it? He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance. We're here. You're here to preach deliverance to the captives. And it doesn't always take words. Many times it just takes a presence of peace. To preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. How many of us realize that even after we receive our sight, we can still go blind? And God says, anoint your eyes. Anoint your eyes with the anointing salve to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. When is the acceptable year of the Lord? This is it. Today is the day to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. He gave it again to the minister. He sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." And as we look at it, it was just at the beginning that he said, "This is the." How many of us realize, how many of us understand we can say the same thing? This day is the scripture fulfilled in us. What does it take? It takes a walking it out. It takes a walking it out. I just want to read you a little bit of out of this book of which I was speaking. As this young lady is ministering, she wrote this back in 2012. "Later on a Tuesday in the still dark house, I drank too strong coffee." Well, I should read this other sentence first. "Anger and hatred toward the sin that could allow someone to do such horrible things to an innocent, helpless child. I knew beauty. I fought to see him here. Months later, on a Tuesday in the still dark house, I drank too strong coffee, and I drank of his grace. I prayed over my daughter, a splash of red in the tapestry of our family, feisty, powerful, full of care and compassion." This little girl loved to wear red. No matter what else she was wearing that day, she had to have something red to wear. And right there on the worn pages, I read Zechariah call God's people prisoners of hope. And I knew that I had not been. Once more, I had become more of a prisoner of overwhelming concern about the trauma of my children's past and shifted my gaze away from what, who I was really captive to. But in him, it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they're all yes in Christ. That's from 2 Corinthians. My flesh wants to shake their no, but I am a prisoner to God who says yes, all of his promises. Peace, joy, love, forgiveness, salvation. They are yes to me and yes to her in Christ. Eternity is yes in Christ. And because of his yes, I can say yes to all that he gives, even to all that he allows. Hope is my captor. Hope for healing, here, which has already begun. Hope for our life eternal with him. Hope that he who began a good work in us is not finished yet, and will carry it to completion until the day that he comes, and hope that he is coming. The sun peaks over the horizon, dances patterns across the couch. I see with new eyes a captive of the hope set fully on the grace given me through Christ. I must live my days as this kind of prisoner, because true freedom is only found in being completely captivated by the coming King. She who is always the first one awake pulls a book off the shelf, snuggles up next to me in silence, her 9-year-old lankiness curling up like an infant inside, waiting arms. I see hope in her, and I see myself. I kick, I scream, I thrash hard against the Father's love. I shift my focus, and I become a prisoner to the panic instead of the promise. And still he says, mine, mine. He looks at me, broken, and calls me daughter, and pulls me ever so lovingly right back in. I study her face. I can't imagine that I know only a fraction of his love for her. As I whisper the prayers of every morning over her heart, Jesus, you bind up the brokenhearted. Set the captives free. Comfort those who mourn. Bestow beauty instead of ashes. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a display of the Lord's splendor. I trace the curve of her face with my fingers. I praise him for such resilience and transformation as I have seen in this child. I praise him for her salvation and the way she is hungrily learning more about him each day. And then I write it small on her hand and mine, prisoner of hope. I want to live as a prisoner to the yes. Do you want to live as a prisoner to the yes? Remembering all we have seen, we set our hope fully on what we have not yet seen. We place all of our hope, all of our trust, all of our focus on the grace given to us through Christ, and we beg to live captured by his promises. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath begotten us again. That was another word I hadn't noticed before. Again. He's begotten us again. Because we have already been created by him. He's begotten us again unto a lively hope. How? By what? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. So let's go forward as prisoners of hope. Yeah, that's good. Right.